Today is 24th of March, 2009, and I'm sitting here tonight by myself. Mark is not with me this evening. I want to talk about something a little that I think is very much needed in our time for those who are believers in Jesus Christ, and that is the topic of encouragement. Encouragement. You know, we're living in times when we are being plagued by all of this bad news. We hear it every day. The economy is in the depths of turmoil. We hear all of the negative news about the crime rate going up, the murder rate going up, the suicide rate going up. Alcoholism still being rampant in our society, drug use being rampant in our society, immorality, ethics at a low ebb. We see corruption in government at all extreme high. And so sometimes we as elect children of God stand back and we just are overwhelmed at times. We just look to the right and we look to the left and we look up and we look down and we wonder, is there any hope? Well, tonight I'd like to offer God's children hope. You know, and I'm not talking about a false hope. I'm not talking about the hope that Barack Obama was offering everybody when he ran for president and made all these promises, and as soon as he got elected he turned about face and broke all of them within the first month of his new presidency. But you know, one of the things that we can look at in the Word of God is the surety of God's Word. The Bible says the foundation, if the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? And it also says the foundation of God standeth sure, he knows who are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now we are tempted, we are tried, we are tested, but we as God's elect will come forth as gold because of what Christ has accomplished on the cross. Now I want to just go through and point out and remind us of the great things of God tonight. You know, when we were born and conceived in sin, we were spiritually dead. We had no life in us as far as our spiritual life is concerned. And there was really no hope for us. It took a miracle from God Himself to impart spiritual life into the hearts of spiritually dead sinners, as we were, all were. But I always like to go back to the time when we first recognized that we were recipients of spiritual life. What is one of the primary indicators that we're recipients of spiritual life? Well, the scripture says that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. It says that He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, I know that everybody's experiences are a little bit different, but my experience was at 37 years old, my recognition of my total depravity, my total inability to do anything to merit the favor of God, and recognizing my need of a Savior. You know, all of God's elect have recognized the need of a Savior. Mary herself recognize the need of her Savior, Jesus Christ. All of those who are dead in trespasses and sin, who have been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, are recognizing of their utter despair apart from the saving, finished, completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, the hope that we must look at cannot be a hope based upon this world. We look around us, and we've already mentioned how that this world is in great, great devastation. And so we must look beyond this veil of tears. We must look beyond what is apparent to our physical eyes. We look at those around us getting older. We look at ourselves in the mirror. We see our hair turning gray, and we're losing our hair, and we're getting wrinkles, and we're getting more aches and pains in our body. So for us to have the joy of the Lord, and for us to have a inner peace and joy which the world cannot afford, we have to look beyond this veil of tears. And we know that we are eternal beings. We know that we will live forever. There are many, many promises in God's Word that we can hold on to as a hope for our soul's rest. One of the most comforting passages in the Bible is when Christ tells us that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Aren't you looking forward to that day when you are ushered into the presence of God, and you're in a new heaven and a new earth, and the city, the new Jerusalem, where there will be no more curse, where the former things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, I know that sometimes we cannot, because of the things going on around us, look clearly at that dividing line between this world and the next world. We're told in the Bible that we see through a glass darkly, but soon we shall see Him face to face as He is. You know, Jesus Christ accomplished the mission that He set out to accomplish. And this was all between the covenant of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit did not have an option B plan. They knew that Adam and Eve were going to disobey the law of God. They knew that they were going to fall into sin. But there was already a redemption plan. We're told in Scripture that Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. We're told that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. This was not an afterthought. Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit all were in perfect agreement as to His children and how they would be reconciled to God through the death of Jesus Christ. And so the fact that we are able to think on these things and contemplate eternal things, the fact that we believe that we have been recipients of God's grace and that we have eternal life imparted unto us, and we have been given the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, that God will not hold our trespasses to us. They are cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again, is a grand theme, and it is a a hope for the soul that someday we will no longer struggle with this sin and sorrow here on this earth. And so the encouragement is that we need to focus on eternal things. And I've said this many times, for those who are in distress, for those who are downtrodden, for those who are cast down, you know, there's not any in God's family that cannot receive encouragement from reading in God's Word. I want to look a little bit tonight go back to the Psalms. Whenever I find myself downhearted and discouraged, I find myself returning to the Psalms for my comfort. I can't get a lot of comfort from reading the Levitical law or the ceremonial law of the cleansing of the lepers, but I can get comfort from going back to the Psalms. I was a leper, but I was cleansed by the power of Jesus Christ. No, I'm not sinless. No, I haven't reached perfection. No, I'm not sanctified wholly in and of anything of myself. But I have been sanctified, being set apart by God, because I'm one of His and because He's imparted faith into my heart to believe that Jesus Christ died for me according to the Scriptures. Now in the 27th Psalm, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." How many times have we experienced that firsthand in our lives, where it seemed like we were being attacked on every side and we were wondering how we were going to continue on? He says, "Though as a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." We need to return to the temple of God. We can point out all the sins of our society. We can point out all of the false prophets and the false doctrines being perpetrated on our society, and we need to do that. But we need to end with the solution, which is the completed work of Jesus Christ. He says, David says, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me." You know, God does protect His children even in the midst of persecution. And when I say protect them, I mean He hath eternally protected them. We will not experience eternal separation from God. Though our enemies come against us like a flood, though the devil and all of his principalities and everything would come against us, God has set us upon the rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. It says, "I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, "Seek ye my face," my heart said to me, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." Have you ever had a situation where you knew that you needed to flee to the cross of Jesus Christ? You needed to flee to the rock of your salvation. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me sure. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Now, he says, hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. And he says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, the land of the spiritual living, he's speaking of, the land of the spiritual living. You know, we did not deserve salvation. We did not deserve God's mercy or His grace. We deserved eternal damnation and separation from God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And so, we cry unto the rock of our salvation. I'm glad that the Lord is our light and our salvation. We have no one or nothing to be afraid of. You know, now the encouragement that I have for God's family today is that God is a comfort through the Holy Spirit and His Son, Jesus Christ, to the soul of every one of the elect child of God, every one of His elect family. He is our comfort. He says in the 40th Psalm, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Well, I'm glad that He is the one that has taken us out of this horrible pit, out of the miry clay, that He set our feet upon a solid rock and established our goings. You know, I'm glad that the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. I'm glad that He's not willing that any of His elect should perish. I'm glad that we have a place reserved in heaven for us that fadeth not away. I'm glad that we can count on the next life being much more safe and secure than we have experienced in this life. Now, when we go back, I want to look in, I believe it's the 37th Psalm, real quickly here. He says in the 37th Psalm, he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." You know, Jesus Christ is concerned about every one of His little sheep. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. He has already done the work for us on the cross for our eternal salvation. And, you know, we know that God is sovereign over all the events in the earth. And in that 18th verse there, It says, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." I'm glad that God has ordered our steps. Even the bounds of our habitation are under the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he is very merciful. He's very kind. He's compassionate to us. So we need to wait on the Lord. In the 34th verse it says, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." And then we see in the 39th verse of that 37th Psalm, "The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble." So if you are in trouble today, be encouraged. Realize that God is the one that has given us all things. The most important thing that he did for us, though, is he showed us his Son. And he gave us faith to believe that Jesus Christ came into this world, was born in a stable, and that he died on the cross specifically for each of us individually who are God's children. He shed his precious blood on the cross, which was effectual for our sin, and that we are full of joy and we have eternal life in paradise with our Lord Jesus Christ to look forward to, when all around this world seems to be going down and our struggles begin to overwhelm us. Let us be reminded to look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Let's be reminded, like the psalmist that said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Father, we ask that you would encourage all of those who may be listening to this message. We pray that you would give them the hope of eternal life when we will find ourselves in your paradise with you forever, for eternity. Help us to look on eternal things, and help us to be encouraged in a time when the world around us seems to be falling apart. Help us to realize that you created all things and that you're sovereign over all of these things. And by you all things consist. And that in you we live and move and have our very being. And help us to look to Jesus Christ, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.